But how would you approach the how would you approach it to analyze? I mean, what is there something there that is very unusual? What is it in the bracha? Something very unusual. One problem is that Machayim Mason a little more questions is really stronger. That you see Machayim Mason appears so many times. Three times. Rav Loshia, right? So Machayim Mason in the beginning. True. Then again, Venema Talariyes Mason. Bruchtar Hashem, Machayim Mason. So you see that the essence of the bracha revolves around Machayim Mason. Why is Lag Vurus? Why that
Gavurus? That's something.
Right? Yes. All right. Whatever. Casey, come on, we have fun. Casey. Whatever.
Yeah, where Rav Moshe?
What do you mean it's outside the tower?
Wasn't
Bechesed, yeah.
What's
Rahim Rahim
later on?
Rahim Rahim, yeah. It doesn't mean it's a different type of chesed than we have. It's not human chesed. Just means this. It means an action which we would call chesed. The person did it, but with God it comes from knowledge. See, I want to mention this before. Why is it that we say that God does good, but not evil? Right? Well, we say good. Why can't you say he does evil? So the answer is because good comes, see, in a person there's the ethical good. Good stands in juxtaposition to evil in man. Because there's the ethical good and there's the ethical evil. Right? One comes from one type of emotion, the other comes from the opposite side of the opposite emotion. So it's an emotional thing. But in good, there is a rational good as well. What do I mean a rational good? Rational good means that insofar as a thing is created to perform its function to the nth of its ability, that's a good. You understand what I mean? In other words, like this. If I would help a person to be able to fulfill his life to the fullest, right? So it could come from an emotion. That's one possibility. I want to help somebody. But it could also come from the act of if you created somebody and you created him in a way that he's able to perform to the best of his ability, that would mean good. What does good mean? It means that the object fulfills its function. That's a rational good. That's not an emotional good. That's a rational good. You understand what I mean?
Is that good?
Whatever you created, in other words, like this. Let me put it this way. There is... I'll explain to you in a second. In other words, like this. There's two things. There's emotional good and emotional evil. That stands in that one comes from one set of emotions, the other comes from the opposite type of emotions, right? But then there is perfection and imperfection. Now, perfection and imperfection are also opposites, right? But perfection and imperfection are opposites in the realm of the intellect. Do you understand what I mean? You don't understand what I mean. In other words, when a person produces a building, he's an architect. So he could make the building to perfection or he can make an imperfect building. Now when he makes it perfect, he will say he did a good job. You see, that would be good. But not good insofar as emotions are concerned, good insofar as the objects that he created are concerned. See, that's not an emotional good. You follow what I mean? Yes, I understand.
Yeah, so when you're saying...
Now, insofar as God created... maybe this individual will destroy everything, but then you can't say that whatever he created was good. You understand what I mean? In other words, he created the whole universe.
Right.
Right? So we say that he created the universe in a perfect way. What does it mean? That means because of his rationality, since his rationality is supreme, so everything was done to the nth perfection. Right? Now they both merge in this way. I'll tell you how they merge. Take Mechal Kachayim Bechesed. He makes sure that all the living have their needs, right? Now all the living have their needs. Why? Because he would not create anything that's imperfect. So created the whole world in the way that those things that live can always have their necessities. You understand? You understand what I'm saying? Now, if a human being would go around to make sure that everybody has his necessities, that would be an emotional chesed. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't be based on knowledge. But with God, it is due to his knowledge of the way of his of the way he creates. So even though it's, we use the word chesed, you see, it is the same result as if a human being would have done it. But achieved through a different means altogether. You understand what I mean? You understand what I'm saying? In God, it's not an emotion of good. In God, it's due to his nature, to his knowledge. Now, chesed, the good, is parallel by emotionally. What a person will do for another emotionally is paralleled by intellectuality. You understand what I mean? You follow? Whereas evil is the opposite emotion. See, we don't attribute emotions to God. You understand what I mean? And evil is a positive entity insofar as evil is a positive entity, just like good is a positive entity emotionally. But imperfection is not a positive entity. Imperfection is just the absence of perfection. You understand what I mean? You follow? So therefore, insofar as God is concerned, when we say b'chesed, it's different than our chesed. But it comes out to the same thing. It's the same action, but from a totally different mode of operation. You understand what I mean? Why we attribute good to God and not evil is because we attribute knowledge to God. That's why, because we attribute knowledge to God. You understand what I mean? It's not an emotional good. An emotional good, say, it has one set of emotions, maybe it has other emotions. You know what I mean? We attribute knowledge to God. That's why. Now that knowledge turns out to be the good. Vayar Hashem Kitov. In Bereshis, all the time. Vayar Hashem Kitov. After the first day, after the third day, fourth day, fifth day, right? Always say Vayar Hashem. What does Kitov mean? It was good. What does it mean it was good? Good means that it was, yeah, that's right, it brought about the desired result in terms of it was perfection in creation. That's why Hashem Kitov, every step was perfection in creation. The time lapse was the same after the second day to the first day time lapse, yeah. Whatever. But the completion, but it didn't, the thing that he was doing wasn't complete until next day. Understand. So we're up to Mechayim Mason Barachman Rabbim. Same thing, Mechayim Mason Barachman Rabbim. That's what it means. What does it mean, Barachman Rabbim? For us, it would be Rachmonis. If a person would be Mechayim Mason. Right? Be Merachim. With God, it's, of course, it's Rachmonis, but for a different reason. Because in his scheme of things, this is the most perfect way. He created man in the most perfect way that man can exist. You see, he wouldn't create a creature in a way that the creature would have a deficient life. And part of the life of this individual, insofar as the plan is concerned, includes Techiyas HaMeisim. All right, so that's why it says Mechayim Meisim Berachman Rabbim. Mechayim Meisim Berachman Rabbim means that God created man in a way that man will be able to exist to the best of the nature that he has. Now part of the nature that he has is, for his benefit, is that there should be a Techiyas HaMeisim. And therefore God brings it about. But he brings it about, if a human being would do it, it would be Rachman Rabbim. See, with God, we use the term Rachman Rabbim. But it's not the same Rachmanis as an individual have. Of course the same action would take place, but from a totally different cause. You understand what I mean? Alright. Important to know, otherwise you know. Not being so far as God is concerned, the difference is being so far as the muscle is concerned. You know what I mean?
So far as being interpreted.
Right. From rationality, there can't be any difference in so far as God is concerned. The only difference could be, in so far as man is concerned, man would call one chesed and the other one he'd call rahman. Okay? That's the. Now, why would man call one chesed and the other rahman? Seven points. Yeah. Well, as God is concerned, it only comes from one source, from God's knowledge. It can't be, there's no difference.
You know, it seems to me.
What? Are just things that he is called by. Mahu nikla racham, afato heye racham. Mahu nikra chan, afato heye chan. He's nikra, nikra. But that's not what he is. It's not his essence.
Yeah.
It means like this. Not that, in other words, there's two times. When you say bechesed, what does it mean? Does it mean that he does this out of chesed? Or he does it with chesed? In other words, let's say, for instance, a person, you give an oni, he needs some money, so you give him money, so you bal chesed. You do somebody a favor. Do somebody a favor, bal chesed. Now the thing is like this. How you do the favor? Another question. Does it mean machal kachayim bechesed means that the bechesed is referring to the fact that he does it? Or bechesed is how he does it? In other words, he makes sure it's done with chesed, which means that the animal, every creature doesn't have to go scrounging around for his, he could live, but how? How does he live? No, he made sure that every creature has its food supply in a way that is good for it. Doesn't have to suffer. Doesn't have any difficulties. See? It's not something which it's done in the most perfect way that the creature can live an enjoyable, satisfying life. That's what chesed. But without chesed would mean that he has it. Of course, the animal has it, but what kind of life does he have? It's a torturous life trying to keep alive. You know what I mean? That's the question, whether it means bechesed refers back to the action, or bechesed refers to how it's done. You understand? Is it the cause, or how it's done?
Because we got it like that. I'm a high mason, Barakim Mahmoud.
Wait. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, right? Gemara in Sanhedrin. It means that the Barakim Mahmoud simply means referring to the cause, plain shot. But bechesed, I don't know. Bechesed, I don't know if it means, bechesed means that it's because of his chesed, or it means the way it's done is with chesed. You could do a guy a favor, but how do you do it? You do it in the way, if you do it without chesed, you do it, he has it, but the man has to go through a lot of difficulties until he gets it. But chesed means it's done with an open hand, done in the way that he really can take joy in whatever he's doing, you know what I mean? It's not, he doesn't suffer. Yeah. Certain things have to be forfeited for other things.
Yeah, no,
you have a contradiction between two frameworks, and the question is that which is the most perfect. I mean, nothing. The most perfect in the total picture. In the total picture. There cannot be any perfect world. That's why the HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the most perfect possible world. That's what the Rambam says. The most perfect, but a perfect world in physical matter cannot be. Just can't be. It's against the law of nature. Inherently, in matter, there has to be some deficiency.
Isn't that the same thing with Hashem?
That's right. Same thing. It is the most perfect. Ram says, Maria. Can't be any perfection of matter. Impossible. This is certain ideas. It's just because it's physical itself, it's the physical nature of things itself is already defective. It has physical limitations. You have inherent limitations on a physical. Be perfect like his ideas. It's a physical impossibility. But the physical can't reproduce the ideas which are total abstractions, total perfection. Okay. Now the question is Machayim Esen. Why is that the essence of the bracha? That's the question. So Mendy said because it's chutz l'teva. Now let's pick up on that point. Good point. Chutz l'teva. What does it mean? Can you go a little further? But we say chutz l'teva. It shows when you say omnipotent, what does it mean omnipotent? Omnipotent means that everything is under his control, right? Now what really shows, what demonstrates that things
it can't be attributed to nature.
Yeah.
It has to be super big, right? Anyone else can explain something as nature, right?
That's right, like all the needs people.
Everyone can say.
How do you do Mahayana? So why is that the essence? Why is that the essence? Why is that the essence? What's the difference between Machayim Esen and the other things? Differentiated by the difference in Machayim Esen and the other things. The other actions. Why? You mean to say that in the other cases there are other forces?
Right.
frogs, dumb. It's all natural things, right? Over here, right?
Very natural, though, what you're trying to say.
In other
words, in the case, in the other cases, so it means he has control over the forces.
Yeah.
Control over the forces. Like he gave an example, a mechanic can control the car, right? Or a person might be able to control a force in nature. But he could he produce the force? No, he can't produce any forces. Man can control forces, but he can't produce them, right?
Yeah,
by Machiah Mason is creating a new entity, which really reflects on what? Which really reflects on the other, on the others as well. See, there's two reasons why a person can why an individual can control something else. One reason is because the thing is
he knows how it operates.
Well, it's
one,
what?
He manipulates the causes.
That's one thing, right? But he needs the cause in order to be able to manipulate it. The other reason is because he himself
is the cause.
Is the cause. Yeah. Right. Right?
Yeah.
See? That's the thing.
Like a physicist today, you know, Gagan's
not right. So Gevurah, so I have to give Machiah Mason to Rav Loshia. Why do you put a Machiah Mason? Because you want to show the type of Gevurah. If you just say Ato Gibor and you wouldn't say Machiah Mason, you wouldn't be showing the type of Gevurah. You'd be saying he does this action, fine. But then you'd say Mechako Chaim Bechesed, that's one thing. Mechayim Esrach Rabbim is two. You'd be, each one would be, Somech Noflim would be simply control of forces. So that's why you have to have the introduction. Ato Gibor Lolam Arashem Mechayim Esim Ato Rav Loshia. What does it mean? It means that the nature of his Gevurah is a different kind of Gevurah. It's because he's the cause, not because he can control causes. Right? That's the thing. Because he is the cause. Everything that exists is because of his causality. So his control is of a different type. It's not an extraneous object that's controlling something else. But he is the cause of those things themselves. And that's why they're under his control. They're under his control because he is the cause. He could remove them. He could cause them to cease to exist. He can continue to exist this way, exist that way. All different changes. But that's seen only from Machiah Mason. Okay? So that's why you have it. That's why you have it in Ato Gibor in the introduction, and then you have it in the central part of the bracha. Why? Because it's one of the. Then it's stated as an event, list of events. So when you list the events, so that's there. It's listed as an event, and Ato Gibor is listed as the nature of the Gevurah, defining the nature of the Gevurah. You understand what I mean? It's listed in two frameworks, Machiah Mason. One, the framework of how he's a Gibor, nature of the world, and the other as one of the events. One of the events that God does. Right. Including all the other events. Yes. That's more of an LP dictum.
Yeah?
Yeah. I think he's a Lola Marashim.
I haven't seen the other way.
Lola Marashim, Machiah Mason. Let's put it together. Machiah Mason Mata. Then Rabbi right here. Where's the comma in the Siddur? It's by what? Chasim is Machiah Mason. It's Machiah Mason. Yes, okay. Now, really, it's an interesting thing, but really, there's one question we should ask over there. Question is, that what about the Nisim, let's say the Nisim in Mitzrayim. The Nisim in Mitzrayim. Right? The Nisim in Mitzrayim. See, Gvuros was understand that God is a Gibor was understood even by philosophers. Like Aristotle also knew that God is a Gibor. But Aristotle maintained that the universe exists as a direct result of God's existence. We differ from Aristotle in one thing, because Aristotle maintains that the universe exists as a as a result of God's existence. He never equated the universe with God. That's a mistake those people think. He never equated it. He understood the universe is not on the level of God, but it exists as a result of his essence. Whereas we maintain that the universe exists as a result of his actions. Okay? As a result of his actions. Right? And best marshal, we went through this once before, a few times, right?
Yeah.
Best marshal is the Ramos marshal, the shadow from the wall. The shadow is caused by the wall, but it's caused by the existence of the wall. Right? Okay. That's the way Aristotle maintains that the whole universe exists like a shadow of God. He doesn't maintain the universe as God. It's not on the same level of God. but it's a result of his essence dictates.
It must be.
Yeah.
Natural result.
Sure. But if that's the case, then of course that's why he says the eternity of the universe. That's Aristotle's theory of the eternity of the universe. So it wasn't an attempt to say something else eternal. People understood in a very childish way, like who's first. I mean, that's not what he meant. He didn't care who's first. What he meant to say was he meant to unify all phenomena and God, because God is the ultimate reality, and he wanted to unify all realities with God. See, but he didn't think that God is on the same level as a piece of wood, a planet. See? He maintained that everything exists as a natural result of his essence. We maintain that that's not so. His essence does not dictate the existence of the universe. In other words, his essence existed without the universe. And then, due to an action which comes from his nature, you see, then the universe was created. That's
he
what
we
mean. God cannot heal. It is impossible God to exist without the universe existing. That was his thing. It's a whole different, it's a different conception. Really, the truth of the matter is, of course, that the Aristotelian philosophy ties matter closer to God than we do. You see? Because matter is tied closer, there's a closer relationship between matter and God. Because the moment you say, if you say that when the moment God exists, matter exists as a direct result, then matter is more closely linked to God's essence. Whereas
there's
yeah,
what? Another thing that God's will changes.
What do you mean?
The way the correlation with the world comes out because of action.
Yeah.
The will is first, there shouldn't be a world, and then
That's true. I know that's one of the problems. There are a lot of problems with our way, and there's no question about it. There are a lot of problems with our way. That's one of the problems where I mentioned several problems. How can it will change at one time? One time it was this way. One time he existed without the universe. Now he exists with the universe. But then you get into the question of time in relationship to God, and before and after. And I'm not going to answer those questions. Those are questions in the Mara. Essentially, the Mara was written to answer those questions. That's really what the Mara is. What the essence of the Mara is. That's what the Mara is all about. But I'm just saying this point that regardless of how you approach those questions.
Well, they don't get those questions either because the world has changed?
No. What do you mean change? You mean there's not an essential change, it's an accidental change.
Yeah, but still those changes, I mean.
No, the thing was over here yesterday, it's over here, it's an eternal order. About that area is this. That the area is the most abstract area in philosophy, and I can tell you that you don't think you just sit back and go into this area and forget it. I'm just trying to forget it. Don't question it. Don't answer. It's a tremendously deep area. You're not ready to go into that area unless the guy has a tremendous amount of background. But the only reason I bring it up is agavocham. I'm just pointing to a side point which we could see from the area. According to Yahadis, God is further removed from matter than according to the Aristotelian concept, you know? That's why we maintain Kadmus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kadmus HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not just a question of who is first.
It's like
it means
the accidental connection between
matter
and
matter. That's right. That's right. That's right. It is not related to his essence. It's related to an action. Okay? Okay. Now, the difference between, why don't we use the Nissim and Mitzrayim really show that what? That the the Nisim Mitzrayim shows that everything is a result of God's. See, according to Aristotle, you could never have Nisim and Mitzrayim.
Can't have any Nis.
Yeah. Because everything is a result of his essence.
Right.
You see? And nothing of his actions.
It doesn't interact. No control.
That's the big thing. That is why, that's the whole thing of Nisim Mitzrayim. That's the whole, why is the whole Torah of Nisim Mitzrayim again and again and again? The Montiscus, and Tfum, and Mezuzah, and Shabbos, and Yontif, and everything is, Anoch Hashem, Lekach Hashem, Tzichim Eretz Mitzrayim. Constantly, the whole Torah is Yitzchus Mitzrayim. How many Mitzvahs in the Torah are because of the Mitzrayim? Right? He says the essence is made of most.
Tie them all into one.
So, that was a rhetorical question, by the way. All right.
What?
That was a rhetorical question. Okay. No, I said, how many Nisim and Torah are? What's the reason for that? Why is everything the Nisim and Torah is right? What's the reason? The reason is what we're saying. That what? Namely, that what? That's
the reason why the Jews said we'd be better if we left the Mitzrayim.
Why? Because it means, because Mitzrayim, the Nisim of Mitzrayim demonstrate one thing. They're what?
Action.
There's still other actions occurring.
That's right. That it is not. It is not. The world is not a result, a natural result of God's essence. But it's a result of his actions, and therefore Nisim can occur. That's the big thing. That's the big Yisayid. Yisayid or Gadol.
Why? Because
you use Mechayim Mason. Why don't you use Nisim in Mitzrayim?
Because you use Mechayim Mason as the essential character of the Bracha instead of the Nisim in Mitzrayim.
Hey, we answered that already.
Yeah.
So who knows? It's not really Mucha, but this is really Mucha. All right. Hey. Right. Good. That's good. All right. We'll take the, in other words, Nisim and Mitzrayim is right. Jeff's right. Nisim and Mitzrayim we already answered because Nisim and Mitzrayim we said that the that it acts with natural causes. Marcus Pacharis, okay, as it says, why they shlichu them off. It's not muchach, but this is muchach that it's not natural causes. But the question that he asked is a better one. Why don't we say Ata Gibra Lo Lavad Hashem Baruch Shemayim Varetz?
Because it happened already.
It's not a question. The question they ask, all the Rishonim ask the question. Why do you say Nechad Hashem Lekecha Shetzis Chamer Tzrayim? Why do you say Nechad Hashem Lekecha Baruch Shemayim Varetz? Right. What? No, but I gave you the answer. The answer is because Baruch Shemayim Varetz is what? Baruch Shemayim Varetz would be good also. You say Baruch Shemayim Varetz would be the same thing because it means he created all the causes, right? So Hashem answer I said because you only mention the way that you know, the way that you know that it's so. Not that Baruch Shemayim Varetz you don't know. So you see that God is the that God relates to. First-hand knowledge.
You don't know that either.
Okay, but why is he right? So I interrupt. So on the contrary, so use my
observation. Wasn't there someplace in
the... Yes, on a general scale. Wow, bracha. Really, you're talking about Gvuras Hashem, right? So why, notice the things that you mentioned. Mechal kochayim b'chesed, mechayim eitzim b'racham, seimech neiflum, roifecholum, matir surim, mechayim b'chol shenei afa. There's a common quality in all those things. What's the common quality in all those things? There are other Gvuras HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Created the planetary system. I mean, it's not Gvurah. The stars, the cosmos, millions, billions, trillions of miles. I mean, space, it's endless. Fachmas Hashem. They didn't mention that. Nothing. Only Mechal Kochayim B'chesem, Mechayim Eisem Rachim Rabim, Seimech Lechvech Rechavim. These are really small things in comparison to the entire universe, the entire scope of things. Why only these things? Why do they mention these things? Yes. Mentioned in tefillah, what does tefillah do? What's the purpose? What's the function of tefillah? This was mentioned in the beginning. What's the function of tefillah? What's the function? A person's mundane emotions, not to thwart the emotions, to go away from the emotions, but to utilize those emotions and raise them through those emotions to a higher conception. Right? So that's why tefillah always stays within the framework that is related to the human emotions. You understand? Right. Tefillah is, the purpose of tefillah is, for instance, we said, okay, like really, his first three brachas are about God. The person wants to pray for his mundane needs. That's his purpose. He's interested in whatever he wants. He wants a sports car. That's what he wants. But we take that, you see, we take that desire, that mundane desire, and we utilize it in a way that ultimately raises him to a higher level. Right? We say, well, the rational way to go about it would be to pray to God. He's the cause, right? He agrees. Okay, God, well, you can't pray to God before you define what was some idea about God. Well, what do you have to say about God? Three basic things. There's the essence, okay, HaKadosh, right? There's omnipotence, and also his personal relationship, right? But the order we mentioned at that time, the order is reversed. Why? Because really, you should start off with, philosophically, you should start off with HaKadosh, the God's essence. Then you should go to Gvuras, and then you should go to personal. That's the philosophical order. But the order for the person's emotions goes the opposite way. So he first is interested in the personal, and then he can expand a little more, and then okay, HaKadosh, right? So tefillah really is a stepladder. It takes the person from his everyday life, his small world, and it exposes him to a whole different concept, a whole different idea of God, a whole different idea of purpose in life. By the time he gets finished with his tefillah, his needs seem so unimportant that he's not really concerned about them anymore. Right? We said the essence of tefillah really isn't that a person should think his tefillah should be answered. On the contrary, we showed that till Magen Avraham, when a person is mechavan till Magen Avraham, is yetzer when he didn't ask for anything. Right? And if he's mechavan all the bracha, he's 100%, he's not mechavan till Magen Avraham, he's not yetzer tefillah altogether. So see, Chazal had a different idea of tefillah than we have altogether. If you look objectively at Hilchas Tefillah, it's a totally different idea. Why? Because the essence of tefillah really is to raise the person to the higher level. Right? But in order to raise him to the higher level, you have to deal with those things which are related to him emotionally. Otherwise, it has no value. You understand what I mean? So that's why the bracha of Atav Gvurais, really there are many Gvurais. Many Gvurais Hashem, Ein Mispar. These few things that are enunciated in Atav Gibra are a couple of small things. And that's not the end of the Gvurais Hashem. It's hardly even the beginning. Right? But the reason why these are enunciated are because these are the ones that carry importance insofar as his personal life is concerned. So it takes the personal recognition that he has, but it expands it. See, it expands it so that he comes slowly to the realization that there's something far greater than his than what he perceives. You understand what I mean? Than what his needs are. So that's why in Machal Kol Chayim and Gvuras really mentions Gvuras Hashem, but Gvuras Hashem only in relation to man. See, Baruch Shemai Yavaretz is very nice. It's a person of a tremendous level. That's the real level of Alas Hashem. I mean, he recognizes, as the Rambam talks about, the real level of Alas Hashem is he recognizes that there is an ultimate creator, an ultimate source of all existences. And he loves that source of all existences because everything he sees the Chachmas Hashem from everything. He has desire to reach that, to communicate with that source. You see, that's the highest level. That's Baruch Shemai Yavaretz. But by tefillah, that wasn't utilized, because by tefillah, the purpose was to take the person, take the stepladder, to take him to that area. Just throw Baruch Shemai Yavaretz at him, throw the Ram Milchus Sedatar at him, it's not going to do anything. You understand what I mean? So that's why it was organized in that way. It's the personal and yet impersonal. In the area of the personal, it shows that there is a tremendous force beyond. You know what I mean? In that area, shows that you're dealing here with the tremendous force. Of course, the ultimate Avas Hashem is not dependent on anything that he does for us. Because the Gemara says, what does it mean, afilu hu neitelas nafshecha? Even if he kills you. How could a person love God if God kills him? God destroys him. And how many people do we know from the lived through bad experiences, concentration camps, things, turned them right off the others. Right? I say, where's God? There's no... Of course, it's an assignment that you can't say is an easy one. I mean, we have no right to sit in judgment and say that we're any better. But philosophically, it is wrong. Why? Because philosophically, love of God has nothing to do with what he does for us. Love of God is just object love. He loves that the source of the creation, you see? The source of Chachma has nothing to do with what God does for him personally. It's purely an objective thing. That's why filu netlas nafshecho, because it has nothing to do with what he gives you. Even if he takes away your life, because you don't love him because of what he does for you. Then, if netlas nafshecho, it wouldn't make any sense. He does for me, he killed me. What am I, see? But it has nothing whatsoever to do with it. See, that's vaftas hashem lekecha. But that level is the highest philosophical level. In tefillah, we take the person from those things. We show him that those characteristics and those things which are of value to him. That's why the whole Lata Gibor is only those things. Mashmur Hamar Geshem. Why? Because he needs water. He has to have rain. That's why you only say when you say Mashmur Hamar Geshem. You only say when. He might say Shalom. Why you say it all year round? It's just objective. It has no shachas to me. Say it all year round. Mashmur Hamar Geshem. And you understand what I mean? Only now. Why? Because now it's related to his needs. So it takes the area of his needs. Really, Mashiach Maragashim shows most clearly that it's all his needs. So Machaye HaMesim is the proper thing, not Baruch Shemai Yavaretz, because Machaye HaMesim is Negeya him personally. See? So Tefillah is the borderline. Tefillah is the borderline between the emotions and between the objective. Subjective and objective. That's the whole purpose of Tefillah. To take him from the subjective to the objective. That's why the Gvuras is expressed only in those things. The concept is a concept of Gvuras. Really, it's an objective concept. But it only does it in those things which have personal value. You see?
really thank him for
that? Recognition.
I mean, but the thing he does for you.
Recognition in the area of those things which have value to me.
That's an emotional thing.
You're right.
Now the question
it's
is,
both. It's both. It's emotional insofar as it's insofar as it's choice of objects, it's emotional.
Right.
Insofar as the choice of objects, it's emotional. Insofar as the concept, it's not emotional at all, it's intellectual.
You understand
what I mean? He's talking of my expressions. No difference. But the only thing is that the objects that were chosen are only the objects that have personal value. Because the Anshei Knesset HaGedola, who were Mesara Tefillah, they realize that in order for a person to make that step, he has to start somewhere. And where does he start? He has to start with his emotions. He has to start with his needs.
And
that's the way. There's no other way to do it. What? Avodah, it's called Avodah Shebelev. Because the... You see, why is it called Avodah Shebelev? Why, for instance, Torah is Avodah Shebelev? Torah and Tefillah, I mean, you have to speak. All right, the Ramal's Yetzu with Hero alone. But the Men Rishonim hold you not? That Hero is no good by Tefillah. Tefillah's no good. You have to verbalize. Right? So why do they call it Avodah Shebelev? It's not Belev, it's Bepeh. Why is it Belev? The answer is because the benefit is only achieved... Now, the benefit can only be measured on Belev. The benefit can't be measured with Peh. You understand what I mean? Same thing with Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah, it's an internal. The benefit can only be measured in terms of how the person
means is the
how the, right. I'll give you an example. Learning Talmud Torah is a tremendous thing, right? But I could show you a person who is a tremendous London, and the man has no chel no mava. Cases, learning the counter, person learns to destroy somebody else. So his whole motivation is a vicious motivation. Right? He won't have any chavim. I is a tremendous London. He is a tremendous London. It's true. That's objectively, you're right. If it wasn't a Avodah Shebelev, then you'd be right. The same thing. It is kind of learn, that kind of learn. But we say no. We say Torah is a means for perfection. Right? But without the Belev, then the perfection is Belev. How much an individual derives from it in terms of reaching his perfection is purely a matter of belief. That's something that can't be measured externally. You know what I mean? I can't measure externally. Of course, in the ultimate, if when the person is perfected belief, then of course the more knowledge he has, the greater he becomes, the more perfection he achieves. You understand what I mean?
Yeah.
You understand what I mean?
Yeah.
Because the more chachma he has, the more appreciation he has.
Right.
But a person can have more chachma and less appreciation. Another person can have less chachma and more appreciation. So in terms of perfection, perfection is belev. The perfection of the avodah is tully belev. That's why it's called avodah belev. It's not tully, it can't be objectified. See, whereas another ma'isa mitzvah is a ma'isa mitzvah. Until soon. Yeah. First of all, that's not really part of tefillah. That's divrei tachnunim achat tefillah. And the truth of the matter is that that's not really... we don't have to say that. We know you to say it. But the really was Managamar, they never said that. Each person, it's a different time. Some people did, some people didn't, but we had it because. There are a lot of tefillahs in the Margazari Brach. It's one of the tefillahs that we accept.
It's really confusing, though.
Really... Utilizing the aim of the emotion to come to a higher recognition. That is tefillah. That's why it's avodah. That's why tefillah is so important. That's why I mentioned if a person doesn't understand tefillah, he's missing one of the main tools of perfection that Yehadis has. Tefillah and Torah. Very important. It's a painful thing because a person has to realize his own shortcomings, you know. A person would like to walk around and think that they're a great philosopher. It's a nice feeling. The question is it true or not? Let's think about it. Yeah. To be involved at that time in learning, but his nature essentially needs this. This is what his nature needs. You see, if his essence is that he's totally involved in learning, totally involved, then he doesn't need it. That's why it doesn't. That's why the Gemara says, if a person is learning, he's masik for tefillah. Only if he's terasim nas is not masik for tefillah. What's the difference? Because if he's learning right now, so tell him, look, my friend, learn later. Well, what is the most important thing for you to do now? Now you need tefillah. Tefillah is something which will perfect you. If he's on a high level like that, then he's like Shemei Choy, it's needed. It's not masik. He's not masik. And Tarasim Nasir Rashis. Tarasim Nasir doesn't mean necessarily the guy's learning all the time. Tarasim Nasir can mean the guy's working too. It means in every free second he has those. The main thing is to get very busy in the ordinary day. Your reality of Tila, that's how Tila helps us. That's why Tila's on. Very important Tila. Perfectly in terms of channeling the person to the higher area. Why? Because first you enunciate those things which are important to him, but it's enunciated not because Tefillah is not allowed to add any Tefillah over there. Not allowed to add any Tefillah in the first three brachos. Can't. As we say, just a second. These are the things important to you, but just recognize what the source is. The source that gives you these things. Just recognition of the source. Okay? Then later has a matter for Tefillah. Matter for Tefillah comes in the intermediary brachos. And even over there, it's Pateras Tzibur, it's a part of the Tzibur, which again shows that is not as far from himself, it's far from the whole Tzibur. Once it's far from himself, he could add something in the middle. Yes?
What?
Possibly add in.
How
could you add in to the Sholeh for Shoneis in the Zochrein Alachayim? How could you add that in? Now what Ain Sholeh, now what asking me.
Change one of the
brachos. What?
Change one of the brachos.
You mean to by adding?
Third one, you
say. Oh, Melech Kadosh. Right. Okay. But Melech Kadosh is ready from the Gemara, beginning of the Gemara. So that was mentioned in the Gemara. So Anshe Knesset Gadol apparently had two chasimas. They had a chasima for Yom and the Rome and a chasima for regular year. But the additions, Zachrein Lachayim Micha Meicha, that was added after the Gemara. That was added in the time of the Gainim. Rams is Minigu that they added. But the question is, Ain Shalom B'Shav Shoshanis. How could you possibly, how could you ask for things then? How could you ask for things? Stay since as there was for the Tzibur. It's not a personal request, Taisa says. Not a personal request. Okay, still needs to be elaborated on a little more. Alright. I think one time so shy, I don't remember that. Taisa Avmina was Maskana Brachas. If the Avmina was a Zachan L'Chayim, it doesn't fit in. Maskana is, it does fit in. Why? Because the question is, now Allah is ain't sharing the Mashar Shoshana. It's not allowed to ask anything, right? Now what does it mean you're not allowed to ask? Is the halacha that what? That halacha that you can't ask before you have the first three before, what's the halacha you can't ask? Is the halacha that you're not allowed to ask before you have the first three? In other words, she'ela must be followed by the shevach. That's the halacha. That she'ela cannot, you can't have she'ela before you have she'ela, it has to proceed. If that's the case, so then you can't say Zachrein L'Chayim, because it's not proceeding, right? Well, that's one pshat. Or the pshat is that, no, not the halacha proceeding, but the halacha is the what? Yeah. Shelo and Shevach. Offhand, I don't know. I have to check. I wrote down. I have enough. Shevach, talk to the Sastri. You ask your personal needs before you have the Shevach, so then it doesn't matter if it's Tzibur. Because Tzibur is not your personal needs. Possibility is often as I think it is, I'll check it, but I think it's that one possibility is that it's Tatris Asri. That Shevach and Shelah Tatris Asri, you can't have them coexisting. So therefore, if you have Shelah, it would be not Talach, as you have to precede your personal Shelah by Shevach, but the structure of Shevach demands it should be only Shevach. And Shelah is a contradiction. So therefore, you couldn't do it no matter what, even if it's Tzibur. Shelah and Shevach don't go together. Or the pshat is that you can't ask a personal thing before you come to the recognition of the first three Yesedis. Right? So if that's the case, there's a Zachrein L'Chayim you could say, because it's not a personal thing. It's not
you
a personal
thing. You don't say that when you're asking for the
Tzibur.
Your
Chayim is not Zachrein L'Chayim. There's a difference between it's true, it's Washed Tzibur. But it's only for the Tzibur. He's only an accident of the Tzibur.
Yeah,
but
in
it's essentially him. It's just
only
the FB.
Because he wants, and then if we put him to Lashon Tzibur,
he is a Tzibur. Essentially,
wants a Tzibur too, but it's essentially him. In the 13 central brachos. Essentially, it's his. Essentially, it's him.
The function.
Right. What? Couple things in the Shavu'ot.
That's what he shouldn't have that in mind.
Yeah, shouldn't have that in mind at all. It means a Tzibur. He might die, but the Tzibur is supposed to exist. It means Klal Yisrael. It's Klal Yisrael. It's not the one. What? It's Klal Yisrael should exist. Us. Or taking one that's more. Refrain Hashem v'Rochei. So Baruch Aleinu. that is essentially him, but he wants the whole tzibur also, but essentially him. He doesn't mean Baruch Aleinu, the whole tzibur should have a very good year and I should die. Zechreinu is only tzibur, it's not him. Zechreinu is only tzibur.
What?
It's him, but it should be mitzaref the tzibur, so it should also recognize his position. But that's not essentially the bracha. Can't say essentially the bracha is guy's like responsible for himself. What? Abilities. I can misspell for the tzibur, betar tzibur, and I am not included. Only as far as the tzibur is concerned, but not personally. That's Zechreinu.
Zechreinu.
No, I mean, it doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean Zechreinu means tzibur. Have you got a Gemara bracha? You're with. There's a whole world over here. It's not just him. Place in the rush where they mazir and I say, but that's not the area of that's not the area where they say that ain't shalom b'shalav shenis. It's not over here.
More different shot. He once said that Zechreinu that sometimes tzivui is belushin not belushin shela but belushin asid. In other words, like a v'chein tein pachtecha, he says not a v'chein tein pachtecha.
It's not over here. More different shot. He once said that Zechreinu that sometimes tzivui is belushin not belushin shela but belushin asid. In other words, like a v'chein tein pachtecha, he says not a v'chein tein pachtecha. But v'chein yitain pachtecha. He's saying that he will do it. Not that you're not asking him to do it, but he's saying that he will. Yes, I have a kash altogether. He will do it, not yitain. Yitain, I mean, not tain. V'chein yitain pachtecha. Okay. Harakel HaKadosh speaks for itself. I mean, there's nothing much to go into.
What
does Kaddish mean? Yeah, Kaddish means you define his essence by saying one thing about his essence. How do you define his essence? By saying one thing. What's the one thing? The one thing is that his essence is different than anybody else's. Right?
Yeah.
That's the.
Is
there any difference between Kaddish and Kaddish? What's it? He's referring to Malach, right? Because you buy the Kaddish, Kaddish. So the Kaddish of one of the Shem Kaddish Shem Mori.
What's all coming to the Kaddish?
Next week.
One bracha a week.
Next week is
the Kaddish. Because you understand the bracha really Kaddish is part of Atta Kaddish.
Yeah.
In other words, we say Petzibah, so the bracha doesn't begin with Atta Kaddish, it begins with Kaddish. Okay.
Interesting.
I'll go into Kaddish.
It's a little hot there.
The difference is not a difference in what we refer to. The difference is in the person who perceives it, in the perceiver, not in the perceived. Really in the perceived, in other words, well, it's not perceived over here, we're talking about God. But in the one who the apple, who to whom the term applies, you see, it's the same really. Kelo and Kelo are the same. But the difference is in the person who makes the statement. See? Kel Elyon is not as high as Kel Kadesh. Because Kel Elyon, you mean he's, both they mean he's different. But Kel Elyon means he's different, higher. See, higher. Kadesh means completely qualitatively differentiated. Of course, they're both of them. The references to the fact that he's different, that he really is essentially different. But it depends on the person who perceives it. Person who is on a lower level can't perceive a Kel HaKadosh. Kel HaKadosh is much higher. He doesn't understand how to qualitatively differentiate. Doesn't understand how to differentiate. So to him, it's Kel Elyon. Kel HaKadosh is a higher level. You understand what I mean? In other words, it's the both descriptions. You see. But the person who is on a higher level perceive a Kel HaKadosh. Not on a higher level, he'll have to be in the realm of Kel Elyon. Of course, he knows, intellectually, he knows it has to be different. But he can't perceive it because he doesn't know he can't perceive any qualitative differentiation. You understand what I mean? It's a higher level, right, to see philosophically how God is qualitatively differentiated. If they'll define qualities in the Tzredi Mer Nevuchim, that's metaphysics. Kela Kodesh is a higher metaphysical level.
And the quality is really specific in that case.
Right, recognizes this is a quality, he doesn't have this. This, he doesn't have that. Kelly means God is higher. God is higher.
But we don't know how.
I don't know how. He's qualitatively differentiated. I recognize the quality.
First of those specific qualities.
Yeah. That's right. Kedusha is a highlight. Kedusha is a metaphysical. That's ready to Marnavok. You know what I mean? Marnavok shows that God's knowledge is not like our knowledge. He shows you why, you know, that's already Kela Kodesh. Kelly means an average person is Kelly. It's above everything, but it still isn't the quantitative realm. He still isn't the quantitative realm. He still isn't on that level yet. Okay, all right, it's a hard thing. I almost start with when you say when the shot says kedusha, so the bracha of akela kodesh starts off with nekadesh, right? All right, kadosh mechubal geshen shmei yosef shmei marayim. Alright, so Kodesh Kodesh, that's referring to where? It's referring to the Nevuah. It's really two Nevuahs here. The first one, the essence of Kedush is two Nevuahs. It's the Nevuah of Yeshayo, that's Kodesh Kodesh. And Baruch Kved Hashem Kemai is the Nevuah of Yecheskel. Right? These psukim come from the Torah, they come from the Nevi'im. First pasuk Kodesh Kodesh comes from Yeshayahu Navi, and the second pasuk comes from Yechezkel. Okay, there's an introduction. The introduction is Nekadesh Hashem Lecha Ba'olam Kishem Shemakdishim Ayisoy B'Shmei Maroin. Right? Okay, why do you start off with that? What Kodesh 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 Karazel Zevi Amar. Kadesh, 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 Shem Svakash Mechalas Kavadeh, that's one pasuk. And the second pasuk is, it doesn't say, brother, it starts off before in the Yecheskel. Baruch Hashem Rekanai, both in the middle of both the Yecheskel. Baruch Hashem Rekanai. Yeah, you got a Yecheskel there. Baruch Hashem Rekanai, Kol Rosh Gadol, Baruch Hashem Rekanai, that's the pasuk.
Like in
Volatim, yeah.
What's it again?
Vatisaini ruach vashmacharai kol rash gadol baruch kved Hashem
mekana.
What?
Where is the word?
Cheskel gadol. Okay? So it's two psukim. Of course, over here, when we say it, you don't say it, b'teres psukim. That's why you don't start off with the korazel zevi omar. Start off kadesh, kadesh, kadesh. You break the pasuk in half. I, all the time, am not allowed to break the pasuk in half. Right? Generally speaking, now I break the pasuk in half. Does it change me? What's the answer? The answer is you're not allowed to break a pasuk in half if you're saying a pateras pasuk. If you're saying a pateras pasuk, so you're breaking it in half, so it's wrong because you're re-establishing the sentence. You're breaking it up the wrong way. Right way is v'karas dos. I mean, that's how we received it from the Nevuah. So you have no right to change it. Right? But if you're not saying a pateras pasuk, pateras kriyas psukim, then you're allowed to break it up because you're just using the words of the pasuk. That's Teres Tefillah. Teres Tefillah is no issue. Yes. Yad Moshe, how did it go? All right. Anybody want to comment? In the Yaitza. All right. It says over there. What does it say? The fun of Hazakadish Barash Gadol Nisnasim Umas Serafim Limasam Baruch Emero. So what it means is like this: the Nevuah of Yeshayo, Nevuah Yeshayo, Nevuah Yecheskel. They saw the Malachim being Meshabeach Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Right now, the Malachim being Meshabeach Hakadosh Baruch Hu. What does Malachim mean? Malachim means intelligences that have no physical properties. There are certain existences. There's an existence above us, just like man is an existence which has intelligence. But he's rooted in, he's still combined the physical. There is an existence which is totally non-physical, right? Alright, that's the Malachim. That's the Malachim. So the Malachim praise God. Malachim praise God. Now, what does it mean they praise God? What does it mean they praise God? Maybe Malachim don't get up in the morning and say, okay, we have to praise God this morning. There's many other things that are mentioned in the Yeshayahu and in the Yecheskel are all metaphorical. They're all metaphysical concepts. They're metaphorical. None of those things have physical properties. No one ever interpreted those psukim in terms of physical. Now Chazal, Rishonim, no one. They're all concepts. The srufim and the way they're constructed with the wheels and the things. Everything is a concept. Everything is an idea over there. Four faces means that they don't have to. On the contrary, the fourth one, it says they have four faces, really means that they don't have. You can't attribute to them any position. You can't say they're facing this way, facing that way, because they're non-physical. They face everywhere.
See? Wings.
The one thing, Yechezkel says four wings, and Yeshayahu says six wings. Each one of those things, every one of those things is a concept. See? But it's written in a metaphorical way. Written metaphorical way. Doesn't mean that they're actual wings. Of course, in the Mara and Avua, the Mara and Avua had the physical things, but the physical things represent ideas. Bishmei Mara. So when we say Kedusha, so we equate it, so when it says that the Malas is Kedusha, what does it mean the Malas is Kedusha? What does it mean? It means he perceives the concept of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what it means. You understand that? It means he understands God. Understanding God. Alright. So it says, Nekadosh Mechwalim Keshem Mishimakdishim Ma'aseh Bishmei Marayim. So what do you see from this? Or what? A lot. From our own knowledge. Right? So the closest we can get is to repeat the formula that the Malachim have. Right? Repeat the formula. No, we don't understand it fully. We'll repeat the formula of Shevach Vaidah on actions of God that God did. This is Shevach Vaidah relating to Him, His essence. See? Okay? Alright. So we say it just like the Malachim said it. Say it. Just like Malachim said it. Alright. Now, the thing is this. Let's try to understand how it worked. It says, Kasa li'adam yachav v'kara ze'al ze'v v'omar. What does mean v'kara ze'al ze'v v'omar? V'kara ze'al ze'v v'omar. Ze'al ze'v v'omar. So Rashi says, Not l'm reshu zemi ze'v. Shelo yakdim ho echad v'yaskel v'yischayav srefa. Elim kein paschu kulam ke echad. V'zeo she yosad b'yotze or. Kedusha kulam ke echad oinim v'aymrim b'yira. You think? Alright. Midrash agada maise merkavaho. V'chein tirgo. Kadosh kash gimu pomen ketaguma. Alright. So it means that one, not l'm reshu zemi ze'v. One, starts the he gives reshus to the he starts and the other one all say together so that when they say Kadosh Kadosh it should be simultaneous. One shouldn't say before the other. And that's why you have what we do is the same way. The Shatz says V'kora Zel Zev Amar. You see, he's the one he instructs the Tzibur and the Tzibur is supposed to respond together. Kadosh Kadosh Kadosh. That's what it means. The Kashem Shemim Shemim Moraim. Just like Bishmei Morim, they also go. One starts, and he has the other ones respond. You see, so too we also, because it really doesn't make any sense. The Korazel Zeva Omar. Why does the guy stop there? The Korazel Zeva Omar. What? Zeva Omar. Kadosh Kadosh. Right. So therefore, the Shat says the Korazel Zeva Omar. Stop. So everybody should start simultaneously. Kadosh, he's the one that leads them into it. See? Same thing the way they do it. That's the way the Malachim do it. Korazel Zeva Omar. One starts, and the other one, they say, Nekadosh Shemcha Abba Olam. They say, Nekadosh Shemcha, one says. The other one says, Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. See? Okay? Baruch Hamer. Lumasam Baruch Hamer is in the middle of a thing. What do you mean? Lumasam Baruch Hamer what? They say, Baruch Hamer Shem Makamah. So the Shat does it the same way. Kashem Shem 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 Rahim. I take Rashid Zemizah. Right? Okay. Now, that's the form. All right. Now, the hard part, of course, is to get down to the essence of the Kedusha itself.
So let's take the reason why I had to fit together.
The why one couldn't.
You saw
it earlier. had no right to do it. By himself. I don't know why. That's it. He has no right to do it. Personally, Yechid has no right, no reshus to do it. That's all.
I mean,
that's not part of the thing. The Rajba says, Rajba's a chuf on that. The Rajba says that it was a tremendous, tremendous machlekes. Big machlekes, Hagainim and Rishainim. He says, now I'll tell you a claw. Whenever there's a machlekes, they should say something and don't say it. Don't say it. That's what Chuf's Rajba said, yeah. Chuf's Rajba said
that. That's what
Rajba said. Yeah. He changed his mind.
To what?
They say the Rambam changed his mind, because the Rambam says in his in the Yad HaChazaka that you shouldn't say it by yourself. And then there's a who was it? I forgot. Rabbi Abu Hab, I think it was, who knew the son of the Rambam. He said the Rambam changed his mind at the end of his life. Whereas the Rambam in the Yad HaChazaka that we have says don't say it. The Rajba says that whenever there's a machlokes, there's a klal. So I'll tell you a klal. Whenever there's a big machlokes, they don't say, he says, don't say.
But then you say, what
do
you skip?
Say,
what about
Valtian? No, Valtian, yeah, it's also my place.
Right,
so you can get the whole pasuk. Well, he has to record all the Yamar. But he's saying he wrote his whole pasuk. But he,
Right,
it says there, there. Right, right, right. Right, right, right. Right, right, right. Right, right, right.
Right,
right, right. Right,
right,
right. Right, right, right. Right, right, right. Right, right, right. Right, right, right. Right, right, right. Right, right, right. Right, right, right. Right, right, right. Right, right, right. Right, right, Limud. It's Kedusha and Limud, so that's why I have the Pesukim there. So Rashi says in the end of Seita. So why, what's Kedusha the Sidra? Kedusha the Sidra, that's Kedusha the Sidra. So Rashi says in the end of Seita, why is Kedusha the Sidra so important? Because it's Kedusha and Limud. That's why you say that, that's why you say the Tirgum over there. Why do you say the Tirgum? Because it's Kedusha and Limud. See? It's different Kedusha. It's Kedusha, Bataris, Limud. Kedusha, Bataris, Limud. For Dvarim, or whether it's actually a Maisa Kedusha. That's the Machlokes.
Which one?
Yeah. Plagues Ridvar. Ridvar says Besar Sibidvar, if I'm mistaken. Ridvar Megillah says.
Ridvar.
It's Ridvar Megillah, everyone is interested in this, over there. In the, where it says over there, it's called Ezra Gusha, the Mishnah. But what that's a good question, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Because if you say that the only reason you're saying it is because you're saying Ritar Sibidvar, right? So Ritar Sibidvar, if you say the whole Pasuk, it's also Ritar Sibidvar. Maybe then, no, maybe say how possible Teres Kriya already. Teres Pesukim, it doesn't belong there. Yeah, Berachas
Krishma.
Machlaik is Berachas Krishma, whether it's the Teres Sipa Dvarim or the Teres Teres Amir Tzuris or Bracha over there. You get Piyutim. You get Piyutim, I have to have Gedolah Dara make Piyutim. I can't just do it.
Well, this isn't Gedolah. This is
the
Pesukim.
Why doesn't anybody give that advice? Why doesn't Rashi give that advice? Rashi doesn't do it. I was that too. Apparently, can't change. Can't be
changed. He never had a suffix 10. I mean, he knew there was 10.
No, by Yachid. By Yachid.
Yeah,
Rashi says don't say it.
Yeah, but
like,
he didn't like the
Pai Hachid.
Yeah,
it's like
you have.
You have the Pai Hachid. Yeah. Kadesh, Kadesh. Three times. Hashem Tvakais, Meloi Chol Haaretz Kevaydai. Lumasam Baruch Hamir. What does Lumasam Baruch Hamir mean? Anybody know? Luma son Baruch Amira. Alright.
Is this a funny meaning?
What? No, what's translation? Muslim mean?
The opposite.
Yeah, opposed to. Opposed to what?
No, the opposite. People say the opposite
then. Lumas. Lumas always means something.
Lumas,
right. One so against the other. So Lumas son means opposed to themselves. Lumas atma. You know what I mean? How can you be opposed to yourself? Okay? Ah. That's what I told you before. What it means is that it's not a physical thing. I want to show you it's not a physical thing. Lumasum means that they don't have to face anything, the malachim, because you can't say they're facing this way, facing that way. So lumasum means facing themselves. There's no direction. There's no direction over there. Okay? So like this. Vafanachaskarish brash gadol misnas im lumas serafim. Lumasum baruchim eru. The umas serafim would mean, as opposed to the serafim, means they're actually facing serafim. But there's nothing physical over there. So it says l'umasom barachim erov. It doesn't mean l'umas. L'umas serafim is a conceptual thing. It doesn't mean physically that they face serafim, that there's really a serafim up there and they're facing them. That's a physical thing. The only reason, it only conveys it through imagery. But really, it's trying to tell you simultaneously there's no such thing as a real direction up there. No direction. So l'umasom, that's what l'umasom means. L'umasom means that there's no direction. Lumas atzmon. It means a physical impossibility. Could you be talking to lumas yourself? It's impossible. It means there's no direction. That's what it means. Okay. Let's take karosh karosh. Karosh karosh. Three times karosh. What are three times karosh?
Three.
Move from the spot. It means they don't move. They stay right there. Lumas. And that is lumas rafim. Lumas rafim. Now what is the karosh? Three times karosh. What's three times Kaddish? So how do we pressure? Come on, fellas, no? Just tell you, Kaddish is Sidra. What's the definition of Kaddish is Sidra? Rashi defines Kaddish is Sidra. It's Limud, the Kaddish is Bataras Limud. So if we want to find out where the Kaddish is, so we should take the Kaddish we say every day Bataras Limud. I mean, at least we'll show we learn something from it. Right? Take the Bataras Limud, we don't know we're learning. All right, so you have the Tirgum. So the Tirgum Yenison. Tigrim Yenison gives the pshat. What does he say? Go ahead. Can't sit here and there's a kuzari, there's this technical text on pshat. But let's take at least the plain pshat and the kaplan dame and dane. I mean, Vamrin. Alright? Let's take the Tigrim Yenison. Take Tigrim Yenison. Okay? Unfortunately, it's Tigrim Yenison itself, but alright. Nothing's clear over here. Alright. From the kaplan dame and dane, Vamrin. Kaddish b'shmei merema ilo beis shechintei. Right, Bruce?
Hey?
Kaddish l'olam l'olmei omaya. L'olmei omaya. Some say Kaddish b'olam l'olmei omaya. It's two different... No, it's not a small thing. But let's take the gears that we have. Kaddish l'olam l'olmei omaya, all right? Because others didn't understand. Why do you have to say Kaddish... How's it go? Yeah, because li'olam means forever. That you have later. Okay. But our tagim yonison that we have over here in the Chumash and in the Navi is Kaddish li'olam. But there was other gersoys that Kaddish bi'olam. Big difference. But this is a Kaddish bi'olam, it means there's three realms. If you say Kaddish li'olam l'olamaya, it means forever and ever. All right. If you say Kaddish bi'olam, it means that there's three realms of Kedusha. Kaddish Kaddish b'shmei meroyma ilo beis shechintei. See? That's one area. One area, he's different than that area. Kaddish, he's in the area of beis shechintei. Ilo meroyma. Kaddish ilo meroyma. Beishkante means the place of his Shechina, the place where he rests, where his glory rests. That means over here, in this sphere. You're right. All right? And then Kaddish, l'olam l'olmei, Kaddish bi'olam l'olmei amaya means in the highest possible sphere. But the order is very funny, the way it goes. Let's take the pshat that we have. Kaddish, we have like this. Kaddish, the first one is like what? It's what? Kaddish b'shmei meroyma ilo beis shchinte. That's one. Then Kaddish al ara oivad givurte. That's two. Then Kaddish la'olam b'olmei omaya is eternity. So let's leave that out. So you only have to deal with two, really. Let's deal with the first two. Kaddish, according to the gross, is what? That what does the gross say? That what? The first two were said by?
Kaddish
yam svakas. Okay.
Kaddish yam svakas.
Right.
That's probably
one. Goes on all of them. Different property. Different property. That's right. Okay. If I'm in Kaddish, b'shmei meroyma ilah. B'shmei meroyma ilah, high up, bei shechinte. And then Kaddish al ara oivad gevurte. Right? Alright? What does it mean? What does it mean? We have to distinguish between b'shmei meroyma ilah, bei shechinte. Right? And between the ara oivad gevurte. All right. So let's get the translation first. B'shmei meroi ma'eloh be'shchintei means what? The heavens, high, high, high. It's hard to understand exactly what that means. All right, let's take the second one. It's a little easier. We'll contrast the two. Second one is Kaddish al Ara Oivad Gevurte. What does Oivad Gevurte mean? What does Oivad Gevurte mean?
The work of his strength.
That's right.
It's on the land.
The work of his strength.
Is that the world? The world?
Yeah, the work of his strength. Oivad Gevurte is Maisei Gvurasei. Maisei Gvurasei.
Shahu.
Two things. It says, Mekabon Kaddish al Bishmei Meroi Meilo Beis Shechinte. Kaddish al Ara Oivad Gevurte. What does it mean? That's the third one, something else. Eternal.
Right.
The other two have nothing. Are in two different places, two realms. Two realms. Yeah. The Rambam says we know God only through. There's five ways to know, to describe somebody. There's only one description that's applicable to God. That is his actions. That's all right. So, Kaddish al Ara Oivad Gevurte means what? Let's take the easy one first. Down to earth a little bit. The Oivad Gevurte.
Al Ara.
Kaddish al Ara Oivad Gevurte. So, what does it mean over there? Kaddish means he's different. Now, what way is he different, al Ara? What way is he different, al Ara? So it means that the earth, the physical creation,
that which we can perceive,
all is oivad gevurte. It's all the work of his might, but it's different. What does it mean? It's different. It means it's different than any other type of action that a human being or any other being can perform.
Ex nihilo,
but that's not saying what the differences are. That's true, ex nihilo is right. But not only that way, but many ways. It means the universe,
controlling
the physical, right. In the whole, in the fact that the universe is the Maisei Yad Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? Maisei Yad of Magid HaRakia. So the way, his actions, which means the entire universe, spans the entire universe, his actions, are different than any other than anything else. Kaddish al Ara Eivad Gevurte. Okay, he is completely different in relation to the earth. It doesn't mean the earth only. Ara means the all the physical things. All the, it doesn't mean the earth or the moon, this planet, that planet. It doesn't make any difference. It means all the physical creations, the universe. He is different in the universe through his actions. His actions are qualitatively differentiated from man's. Okay? Alright? That's Kaddish al Ara. So that's one way that it's different. But the first Kaddish is a different one. First Kaddish is Kaddish b'shmei mirayma elo'a beis shechinte. What does it mean, beis shechinte?
You can't
perceive it. Yeah. See, beis, why is that called beis shechinte? Beis shechinte means b'shmei mirayma elo'a beis shechinte. We say God is in the Shemayim. That's beis shechinte. And Ara is Eivad Gevurte. Why is the Shmei Meremei Law Beis Shechinte? What does the Beis Shechinte mean? What does Beis Shechinte mean?
It's removed from us?
Because, yeah, it is removed from us, right? Because it is closer to his essence. It means in the realm of the non-physical. That's what it means. B'Shmei Meremei Law Beis Shechinte means in the realm of the non-physical. That's Beis Shechinte. In the realm of the non-physical, why is that called Beis Shechinte? Because that's really where the perception of God is. See, the Malachim can perceive, have perception, because they're totally non-physical. So they could perceive the Kaddish Baruch Hu. Shinte always means where he resides. What does it mean where he resides? He doesn't reside anywhere. That's the whole thing of Kaddish. The whole concept of Kaddish is that it's metaphysical. We'll soon see we get the Baruch Hu and Mekaymai. Alright. So the thing is that it means over there his Shechina resides, means because over there you can, that's where his perception lies. In the world of ideas, in the world of the intelligence, where there's nothing, where there's no physical at all. Because perceiving God through the physical is an inherent limitation. Right? The physical are just the result of God. Right? A result of his nature, of his essence. But the physical has nothing to do with his essence, because his essence has no shaykh to the physical. Right? But b'shmei merayim olah beis shechinteh, that means in the world of the non-physical. That's beis shechinteh. You see? Okay. So it means in the world of the non-physical, he is different. His essence is different. There are different essences in the world of the non-physical. There's malachim, non-physical essences, but that's not the essence of the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You understand what I mean? So he is different in two realms. The two realms, the first realm is the Shmei Merayim Olah Beis Shechinteh, that's the realm of his essence. You see? The realm of the, that means the realm of the non-physical. In that realm he is totally qualitatively differentiated from any other non-physical existence. You see? And in the realm of this world, his actions, even his actions are qualitatively differentiated. The actions which are a result of the other sphere. You understand what I mean? You understand what I mean? We don't understand. Shmei Merayim Olah Beis Shechinteh. He's totally differentiated in the world of the non-physical, because I want to understand the world of the non-physical is the real world. The physical is the not real world. Because the world of the non-physical, that's the reality. So he's totally different there. And even and also Kadosh Al Ara, in the world of the physical, in that world itself, in the world which is the result of his Maisa Yadav, right? In that world also he's qualitatively differentiated through his actions. Through his actions. Okay? Not only ex nihilo, but in everything. I mean, the whole world is structured. I mean, no person, no being could possibly duplicate his Maisa Yadayim. It's an impossibility. Impossibility. Even to fathom the universe would seem to be an impossibility. Just to fathom it. There's a time when I thought.
Why is he different in the Beishchintay?
His essential nature is different.
Oh, okay.
That's his essential nature, and one is in his actions. Okay? That's Kaddish. Yeah.
What
it means the place where he's perceived. That's what it means. It doesn't mean the place where he perceived, where he perceived. So the Beis HaMikdash is called the Shachanti B'Sechon, because certain actions occurred in the Beis HaMikdash which revealed that there is a God, because it's Hashgacha. Certain actions were done straight through Hashgacha. All the Nisim that I mentioned over there in the the Nisim before, first bias, second bias.
Shechina
always means something which
in a physical place.
Something which shows. Yeah, right.
It was manifested in a physical place.
Show people that this is God's Hashgacha. You understand?
What's the third tradition?
Okay, that's the first though. Right? Now the third one, that was more difficult. The third one is Kaddish L'Olam U'L'Olmei Omaya.
It's not really
the third one. It's the third one altogether. What's the Pshat Kaddish L'Olam U'L'Olmei Omaya? Why is Kaddish L'Olam U'L'Olmei Omaya? Alright, tell it.
What
does it
mean?
Shaiva? Mm-hmm. It's on to your game. Brings that for each other. We have to take him Kaddish Hashem Baruch Hu Beis Shechinteh Kaddish L'Olam U'L'Olmei Omaya Kaddish L'Olam U'L'Olmei Omaya. Kolo kolo yonim ke'echad v'zoch ha'acha kein ha'oretz shehi olam ha'shofo u'ma she'omar kadosh lo'olam lo'olmei omaya rotzoloma lo'orech zman kein hoyo v'chein yiyeh lo'olam vo'ed. Alright, so it means that what? It means that v'chein tegron kos Hashem lechom avad Hashem lechuzikom olam lo'olmei omaya. Alright. Alright, eternity. It will eternally be that way. So it means something else. It means it's qualifying both Kedushas. You see, you think like this. A person could be different because, a person could be, giving an example from a person could be different because of an accidental cause. In other words, a certain cause that made him different. Now he's different. But if that is the case, if the cause is the reason why he's different, so then you understand very well that as soon as the cause is removed, he's not going to be different anymore. Right? Like the Rambam says, a great king could wake up one morning and find out that he's no different than his neighbor. He loses his malucha. That's it. That's the end of it. Right? Because the reason why he was different was because of a certain cause. The cause was that people put him up there. Now people took him down. There's no more difference. Right? So when we say that Hashem is different, right? So first we enunciate where the differences are, But then we say the third thing is what the quality of the difference is. It is not from any external cause, but it is from his nature, and that's why it's l'olamo olmei olmaya. That's why it's eternity, because it's inherent in him. You see? There could never be any cause which could change this difference in his nature. You understand what I mean? That would be the way the third Kaddish really would go together, like he said, like the Gro. We'd go, it would be Kaddish, Kaddish, two. That's the way the Tikkun Yonasan seems to say. Kaddish, Kaddish, two. And then the third one is Kaddish l'olam olam emayah. It tells you about the nature of his Kedusha. So these both Kedushas that we're mentioning is something you should know about the nature. The nature is that it's not from any external cause. Because word from an external cause, and it's not permanent. But it has to, it's inherent in him. Therefore, this will exist forever and ever. It will never change. You understand? Now, that would answer why the redundancy. See, some want to say machlekes. They want to say kaddish bi'olam olmei amaya. They don't want to say kaddish le'olam. Why do they say kaddish bi'olam? Bi'olam, they want to say, means the highest realm. But, of course, they didn't understand. You're saying it later. Hashem alchusei ko'em le'olam olmei amaya. You understand? So why the repetition? The answer is it's not a repetition. Not a repetition. Why isn't it a repetition? To the Kedusha. See? Second one's referring to the fact that he's above the realm of time. First one's referring to the Kedusha. The Kedusha is not caused by an extraneous thing. That's the first one. It's inherent. Inherent in him. So that's predicating his Kedusha. You understand what I mean? Predicates the Kedusha directly. The next one is just the fact that he's above time, he's above the realm of time. It's two different things. It's, of course, they both involve eternity, but it's two different, the eternity for two different reasons. One is the nature of Kedusha has no cause, it's inherent in his nature, and the other one is that he's above time. Two different concepts. So that's why it's not a repetition. That's the Tirgum B'nei Nisim we have. That's the basic pshat in Kedusha. Okay? Let's go along with this pshat a little further. Because we won't take all the pshatim, but I think better, let's finish off the Kedusha at least. What's the next thing? Okay? That's Kaddish Hashem. Malay Chalaretz Kavayde. What does it mean, Malay Chalaretz Kavayde? We're up to Kaddish, 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 right? Hashem Tzvakaish. Malay Chalaretz Kavayde.
What's
Chalaretz? Ziv Yikarech.
What's
Yikarech? Kaddish Lalam Lomei Amaya. Hashem Tzvakaish. Mal Yochal Aro Ziv Yikarech. What does it mean? What does it mean? What's Kavaydai? Because there's an interesting contrast over here. Is that what I want to say? There's an interesting contrast over here. See, on the one hand, when you say Kaddish, Kaddish, so you're saying he's so different. You say he's so different. It means he's so different, it means he's imperceptible. Right? It's completely, his essence is completely different, so he can't be perceived. Right? But simultaneously, Malay Chalaretz Kavayde. What does it mean, Malay Chalaretz Kavayde? That's right. He is not conceivable. But the fact that he exists is filled throughout the world. His existence is manifested throughout the world. Which means anyone that studies the Bria, like the Rambam says, anyone that studies the Bria, that sees the way the universe works, from the smallest, the analysis of matter, to the entire cosmos. Anyone that takes a look, that analyzes any area, you see the chokhmah, the way it works. The intricate chokhmah, he sees immediately, Kvayd Hashem. I mean, it's just an impossibility to avoid. See, Maloy Chol Ha'aretz Kvayde. Any area, take anything, take a leaf, analyze it. See, Kvayd Hashem. Take anything and understand it. You see the chokhmah that lies in everything that he produced, and everything that he created, that's Maloy Chol Ha'aretz Kvayde. So therefore, you see, on the one hand, his essence is hidden, completely hidden. Kaddish, Kaddish, Kaddish. That's it, hidden. We can't understand it. Completely oblivious to us. But on the other hand, it's manifested everywhere. See, it's the two ideas. That's basically, it's the idea of how we perceive our Kaddish Baruch Hu, perception of God. Two concepts. One is that his essence is completely hidden. That's Kaddish, Kaddish, Kaddish. And the other is that the fact that his essence exists is everywhere. You see? Malay Chalaretz Kavayde. Alright? That, of course, grows with a person's knowledge. The more a person has knowledge of the Bria, the more he sees Malay Chalaretz Kavayde. They can't deny that. That's that's something which you can't substitute. The more he sees the chokhmah, the more he sees Malach HaShpareh. Every area he touches works with chokhmah. There's only one area in the world that works with chokhmah. I really worked that precisely. Smallest little atom with electrons going around to the entire cosmos. You know what I mean? Nice. Kol Ha'aretz Kevareg. Every area you touch. Not one area. That's why he says, Eiv says, Mibsorai Echzel Lekim. Analyze your flesh, a cell, anything, one cell you analyze, Chachmas Hashem, everything's working precisely within order, as a whole system, the way it works, everything is totally systemized. Total Chachma. That's Malach HaAretz Kevareg. Okay, that's the two ideas. His essence is completely different, which means we can't perceive it, it's hidden, but Malach HaAretz of Yikarei. Yeah, there. Any area. Chachmas Hashem. Any area you turn, it's obvious, it's there. Okay, because the reason why Hashem Tzvakis is used is because the Tzvakis means the whole Tzva Shemayim, means the whole universe. Hashem Tzvakis, that's where you really see the Chachmas Hashem to the highest degree when you understand the universe.
But Tzvakis really
refers to Beishkinte and... No, not Beishkinte, it's still actions. Still actions. Oh, you mean to say, it's both, because it's going back on... I understand what's bothering. You mean it's going back to both? To both Kodesh Kodesh, is it?
I don't know.
How do you entire Hashem Tzvakas?
That's what I was figuring. Hashem Tzvakas is saying the entire picture. In other words, you just said it in terms of the highest.
No, I don't know. Kodesh Kodesh Kodesh, right? And less Kodesh is what? Kodesh Lama Maya. And then Hashem. I would tell you, it's not that Kodesh is going with Hashem Tzvakas, like the Gra says. I mean, feel it's caught up. Because I'm just following the Tirgum Yonasan. Tirgum Yonasan doesn't go that way. How does Tirgum Yonasan go? Tirgum Yonasan goes like this. That Kodesh, Kodesh, Al-Ara, Kodesh, Bishmer, Al-Bashar, Kodesh, Al-Ara, Kodesh, La'olam, Al-Omei, Al-Maya. That's the three. Then, Hashem, Tzvokos, Mal Yachal, Ara, Ziv, Yikorek. That's the way it goes. Forget about the gross pshat. Let's take the Tirgum Yonasan. Tirgum Yonasan doesn't say that way. So the Tirgum Yonasan says that the three Kodeshes are together, not the gross pshat, that the last Kodesh goes with Hashem, Tzvokos. But Kodesh, 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 Al-Omei, Kaddish la'olam la'omei omaya, that's the third one, right? That it's inherent in the in his nature. Then Hashem tzvakos mal yachalaras of yikari. Isn't that the way? That's the way we have it in Tigmanis, right? So why is he Hashem tzvakos? Because Hashem tzvakos means the God of the cosmos. So it means that that's where you see mal yachalaras of yikari, from the greatest to the smallest. Hashem tzvakos refers to the greatest, the entire cosmos, mal yacholaros of yikarei. Every corner of the universe, every corner, you'll see your Kodesh.
So
you're
saying it goes back into all the Kodesh.
The Kodesh, the three Kodesh, are what? Three Kedushas are what? Are in relationship to God. But these three tell us that he's completely far away, right?
Right.
So where do we see him? Then it says yes, it's true, he's far away. It says it's far away. But, Hashem tzvakos mal yacholaros of yikarei. Just like God of the cosmos, every corner of the universe is filled with his greatness. Right? You understand what I mean? Two ideas. One is the essence is completely removed, and secondly, that it's Mali Chol Aras of Yikari. That's the Tirgum Yonasan, no question about it. But the Grom Yonasan, okay? Let's take it, because Tirgum Yonasan doesn't bring it away. And Tirgum Yonasan makes more sense from Shat, yeah? That completes the Huznevua. Yishayahu's Nevuah. Okay. Now we come to the Nevuah of who? Of Yecheskel ben Buzi HaKohen. Okay. Where is it? Baruch Kved Hashem Mimkaimai. Right? Vatisaini Ruach Vashma Charai Kel Rash Gadol Baruch Kved Hashem Mimkaimai. Alright, so really there's one Kedusha that we have that explains a little bit more the what's happening over there. Right? The one, excuse me? The Tirgum doesn't tell you much. In Talasni Ruchov Shemes Basrai Kol Ziyasagi, the Mishabchin Vamrin, Bruch Yikar Hashem, Measar Be Shechinte. Doesn't tell you about his translation, right? But fortunately, the Tirgum adds, it gives the ideas also, but not always. It's the minimal, it gives you the minimal amount. Tirgum is the minimal amount. Okay? Alright. So let's see what we can understand from the second part of the vision. You have it in the kedusha of Shabbos by Musaf. What does it say? Kvoidei. How does it go? The first one goes. What's going on? Kvoidei mole olam. Right. Kvoidei mole olam. That's right? Nishar sof shoyalim zelazeh ayei mekayim kevaydai. Right? Lu masom baruch yameru. Baruch kevaydai Hashem mimkaymai. Right? Then mimkaymai yifen already to tefillin. But one thing you see, the explanation, you have one point before. It says, Mishar sof shoyalim zelazeh ayei mekayim kevaydai. What does it mean, Mishar? What does it mean, ayei mekayim kevaydai? Ayei mekayim kevaydai. What does it mean, Mishar? It means that's what it means. They do not know. They cannot perceive his essence. That's what it means. You see, I am a mekayim kevaydai. They can't. They can't. I don't know where. Which direction? Where? Mekayim kevaydai would mean the source from which his covet emerges. Kevaydai means that which shows his glory, right? But the source for the glory is his essence. I am a mekayim kevaydai. Where is the place? Where is the place? Of course, doesn't mean the physical spatial terms. But it means in conceptual terms, because God, you can't put God in special terms. So it means
also.
What?
Malcolm is nature also.
Is nature?
Yeah, yeah. Malcolm, which you would say, more like that.
Malcolm. Okay. All right, that's good. Good. It's nature. Okay. So therefore, see, the Malachim do not know where Ayei Mekayim. They do not know his essence, right? So they say, what do they say? Lu'umasam baruch yemeru. Lu'umasam, of course, means again non-physical. Baruch kvedet Hashem Mekayim. Wherever it is, they know that it exists. Wherever it is, you see, they know that they perceive that it exists, but what its essence is, they can't know. All right, that's the nevuah of Yechezkel and others. Right? Okay. So actually, the two are, in a sense, repetitious. No, two are repetitious. Let's see what the why you say Bath. Why you say Bath? One is from Yeshayahu, one is from Yechezkel. Both have the same concept, namely the concept that God is far removed. He's far removed, and yet you can't avoid him. He's far removed, and yet he's unavoidable. That's the concept of Kedusha. Well, that's the essence of Kedusha, is that he's far removed and he's unavoidable. His essence is far removed, and wherever you turn, you see his existence.
Is that point said in Yechezkel?
It
only says they far removed.
Yeah.
It doesn't say that
manifest.
Mm-hmm.
Karas means that the reason why I use the wind is because the wind is the least physical of all substances. So it means to say that there was a cause, there was an intellectual thing, which is there was a non-physical cause which gave him the perception. You see? That's what it means to say niruach. He's a non-physical cause of getting the perception, but he uses ruach because ruach is the least physical. Like the wind is the least physical. Because okay? it's describing his nevuah. He's describing how his nevuah works. Non-physical cause swept him to the place where he's able to see this nevuah.
Oh, that's the Shemitz Pasvei called Leo.
Right. Sagar Rishon. Right. And he saw the nevuah. Okay. Now, what is the difference? Let's see if we can analyze the difference.